So I invite you to think back with me, to think back before Easter, before Maundy Thursday, even before Lent. For those of us whose memories can go back that far, you'll remember that before Lent, we were going through a sermon series talking about the core values of this church. Some of the core values, the things that shape us, that define us as a church, the things that define us as people. These things that we want to shape us. So when Lent came, we weren't quite done. And so you can probably say that while many of you were giving up pop or giving up chocolate for Lent, we also took a break from the sermon series. And so now that Lent is over, and many of you have resumed your pop drinking and your chocolate eating, we're going back to the sermon series we were in before Lent. Because really, there's two values left. There's two things we need to talk about if we're going to talk about the values that we find important here at West End. So this morning we're going to talk about prayer. And before we start, a story about myself. As I was growing through middle school and high school, looking back on that time, I think I was pretty confused about prayer. Now, I don't know that I would have said this necessarily at the time, but looking back on my life in middle school, high school, I think I was pretty confused about prayer. And I think I can see that most clearly when I look at an experience that I had with my high school youth group. See, in high school, I went to every youth group meeting we had, and it was one of the practices in my high school youth group that the youth leader, either before or after, at the end of the youth group meeting, would ask one of us to pray. So at the beginning of the meeting or at the end, we would be asked to pray. I can remember as a high school kid sitting in that youth group meeting being terrified when the time came for that leader to ask somebody to pray. I would do the thing where I'd kind of close my shoulders in and you don't make eye contact and you try to stare at the floor, anything to try to make yourself look invisible. We all know this doesn't work, and I still get called to pray, right? And so hearing your name called for me as a high school student was devastating. You'd literally, as you close your eyes, you'd say a silent prayer in your head saying, God, please help me get through this. And as you close your eyes, you would then lead the youth group in a prayer. As I look back on that time, what I realize is the most important thing to me in that moment in high school, in that youth group meeting, wasn't the fact that I was able to enter into a conversation with God. The most important thing for me in that meeting was that I sounded smart, was that I used the right words, was that I didn't stutter or I didn't get caught in a thought. The most important thing to me in that prayer wasn't that I was in a conversation with God. It was that I sounded smart in front of my friends. That to me, the most important thing was the words that I would use. Some of you might know this feeling. You may have been there. You might still find yourself there. For you, I think this message is important. And then I think there's probably some of us here that when we look back, at our lives, we almost can't remember the last time that we've prayed. Like, sure, we'll lead the kids through a prayer at bedtime. We'll pray before a meal. But for some of us, to think back to a time that we had a regular, consistent prayer life, for some people, I imagine, we have to think back a little ways. And you might tell yourself that, you know, we're busy people. And many of you wake early, you work hard all day, you come home late, and then when you come home, there's kids to feed, kids to put to bed, and then it seems like there's only a moment to catch your breath and start it all over again tomorrow. For you, I think this is important. This morning, we're going to talk about prayer, and as we talk about prayer, we're going to look at some of the words that Jesus gave to his disciples when he taught them how to pray. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 11. It's on page 1007 of your pew Bibles. Luke chapter 11, we'll start at verse 1. Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 1, we'll read verses 1 through 4. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Please pray with me once more. Father God, as we seek to dig into your word, we pray that you speak to us through it. We pray that you open our eyes, you open our hearts, you open our minds to hear what it is you have to say to us this morning. Lord, we pray that you enable us to hear the words that you're speaking to us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So these words that we read, they're familiar words to many of us. They might seem a little bit different from how you've memorized it. These are actually Jesus' instructions on the Lord's Prayer as described in Luke. The one that we're oftentimes more familiar with is the one that's described in Matthew. Pretty much the same. Matthew has a little bit extra that Luke doesn't have. But it's Jesus' instructions on the Lord's Prayer. At the outset, I've got to say, too, that in one sermon, it's impossible to say everything there is to say about prayer. It's impossible even to say everything there is to say about Jesus' words in the Lord's Prayer. Really, to do it justice, someday we should almost go through a series on the Lord's Prayer, because every phrase that Jesus teaches is absolutely packed with meaning. Absolutely packed with meaning. But I think that as we look at these instructions Jesus gives to his disciples on how to pray, there are some important things that we can see based on the surroundings, what's going on, and then how Jesus teaches them to pray. The first thing we notice, did you notice how Luke begins the passage? Where does he say Jesus is praying? Luke begins the passage saying that one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. Now, I don't know about you, but this strikes me as odd. See, Luke is usually incredibly detailed. He's usually incredibly precise that when things happen in a location, Luke is almost always going to tell us where they're at, what city they're in, what territory they're in, what lake they might be by. Luke is normally incredibly detailed. He's normally incredibly precise, to the point where some biblical scholars actually think that Luke was likely a physician in the first century. And so why would Luke, who's normally incredibly detailed, why would he now be so vague? He doesn't tell us where Jesus is. He tells us Jesus is at a certain place. Why would Luke be so vague? Parents, you know that you'd never let your kids get away with this, right? Imagine last night, your kids come home late. You're waiting by the door, and when they walk in, you say, "Hey, you're home late. Where were you tonight?" "Oh, Mom and Dad, it's really no big deal. I was just at a certain place." They're never going to get away with that, right? Kids, your friends are getting together on Friday. And so Friday afternoon, you get a text message saying, "Hey, we're all going to get together at a certain place." Again, not helpful. So why would Luke, who's normally incredibly detailed, why would he here be so incredibly vague? I think we start to see an answer when we look at the religious culture that Luke is writing at, that Luke is writing to, this religious culture that Luke and Jesus lived in during their day. We're going to look at a conversation that Jesus has, a conversation we actually looked at in a little bit greater detail a couple months ago in a sermon, a conversation Jesus has where he's in Samaria and he goes to a well and he has a conversation with a Samaritan woman. That as they start this conversation, it's obvious from early on that Jesus knows more about her than an average person. Jesus knows how many husbands she's had. Jesus knows things that a normal person doesn't know. She recognizes there's something important about Jesus. And so after she realizes that there's something special about this guy, she launches into the most important question she has. She says, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Which one is it?" This woman, the moment she realized something was different about Jesus, something special about Jesus, she launches into the most important question she can think of. Your people say God is worshipped on that mountain. Ours say God is worshipped on that mountain. Which one is it? Can God hear us best when we pray there? Or can God hear us best when we pray here? We still kind of hear echoes of this today. Can God hear us best when we pray in a church service or when we pray in an aisle at Meijer? Can God hear us best when we pray in a Sunday school classroom or Discovery Hour class or when we're in our car on the way to work? Can God hear us best when we pray before a meal or before we go to bed? Does God hear us most on this mountain or on that mountain? Which one is it? Luke is writing into a culture that is asking where God is best worshipped. Where does God hear us the best? And in that culture, Luke doesn't give them a place because it's not about the place. Luke, instead of giving us a city or a territory, Luke says that Jesus was at a certain place. But a certain place can be anywhere, right? I think that's exactly Luke's point. That it doesn't matter where Jesus is. It doesn't matter if Jesus is on that mountain or that mountain. It doesn't matter if he's in that field or that place over there. Wherever he is a good place to pray. That wherever Jesus is, wherever we are, is a certain place. And whenever we're in a certain place, any place, we can pray. And we can know that God is there with us and that God will hear us. Luke begins letting us know that Jesus prays at a certain place, that we can pray any place, and that God is there, that God will hear us. Then Luke goes on and describes Jesus' instructions on the Lord's Prayer. So a couple observations about this prayer that Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. First, this prayer is relatively short, isn't it? If you were to time me as I were to read it, "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Probably around 30 seconds. It's short. And now we also know that elsewhere in the Bible, elsewhere in the New Testament, Jesus goes away for long periods of time to pray. That Jesus also goes away away from his disciples for an extended amount of time to pray. And so we see that Jesus carves out big chunks of time to pray, which is important, which we need to do as well. But then when Jesus teaches his disciples, when they ask him how to pray, Jesus gives them something that's relatively short. I think Jesus is teaching us something. I think Jesus is teaching us that prayer can take on different forms. It can take on different styles. It can take on different lengths. Because ultimately, what is prayer? Prayer is a conversation we have with God, right? And if prayer is a conversation we have with God, I think it's helpful to look at some of the conversations that we have. Conversations you have with your spouse, with your parents, with your friends. Conversations you have with your kids. And now sometime you'll have a long conversation and you need those. Because without those long conversations, you're probably not going to feel, as deep in your friendship, in your relationship with your spouse. You need those long conversations. But you also know that the only time you talk to your spouse isn't when you have a long period of time to talk, right? We also have short conversations throughout the day with our spouses, with our friends. that if we only had long conversations, we're probably not going to feel as close. And if we only have short conversations, we're not going to feel as deep. We need both. That in our relationships, we talk for a long amount of time, but we also have shorter conversations. That if I were going to be shopping at Meijer this week, I'm getting groceries, and I see you in the grocery store, neither of us have a long amount of time to talk, but that doesn't mean we're going to avoid each other, right? We're going to stop, we're going to talk, maybe a minute, maybe 2 minutes, maybe five, and then we'll get the rest of our groceries. Through the last number of years, I've heard often people say that we just don't have time to pray. I just don't have time. I fill my life with so much other stuff. I just don't have the time. I think Jesus is telling us that on the one hand, we need to carve out time when we can dedicate to prayer, but that also we can pray shorter prayers throughout our day. That as you're driving, you see a fire truck or an ambulance, lights blaring, siren going, you can say a prayer. God, be with whoever needs you right now. It's a prayer. And you see a friend or somebody you haven't seen for a while, God, please bless that person. It's a prayer. Your kids never quite seem to slow down and you feel like you're slowly losing your grip. God, give me the patience I need and the ability to control my emotions. It's a prayer. You're at work, you're in a meeting, and you have to make some decisions. God, please give me wisdom in the midst of these choices, of these decisions. That's a prayer. What these prayers do, I think they open our eyes to the awareness that God is always with us. That God is always with us. Because I think that we, when we talk about this, we all know this, that God is everywhere we go, that we can't go anywhere that God isn't. But I also think that's something that's pretty easy to forget. That too often the way we live, God fits in really nicely on Sunday. But then we go Monday through Saturday, and it's easy to forget. It's easy to let God take Sunday, and then we have to do our life on Monday through Saturday. And if we can, we'll try to stop long enough to remember and try to bring some of God into the week. But I think that what these prayers do is they allow us to daily remind ourselves that God is always with us. That when we go into Monday, when we go into Wednesday, God is there with us. And that wherever we go, whatever we do, wherever we find ourselves, God is present. And through living these daily lives, praying to God, long prayers, short prayers, we remind ourselves of the fact that God is always present, that God is always there. So the first observation is that it's relatively short. The second observation is that even though these words might feel a little bit different to us, these are the type of words that Jesus would have said in regular conversation. Father, hallowed be your name, you are holy. Your kingdom come, may your will be done. Forgive our failures and also help us to forgive those who wrong us. Keep us free from sin. These are words that Jesus would have used regularly in conversations. Jesus didn't slip into a different type of vocabulary when he prayed. Think back to 15-year-old, skinny, awkward me sitting in that high school youth group meeting. To me, like we'd said, the most important thing to me in that youth group saying those prayers was that I would get the words right. The most important thing to me as I prayed in that meeting was that my friends would think I sounded smart, that I would get all the words right. I actually found that to an extent, my personal prayer life would largely become kind of almost training for this time in youth group, that I would try different words, I would try different phrases, so that the next time I got called on, I might sound even smarter. That sometimes it can be easy to get so focused on using the right words, on using the certain words, that we end up in our prayers, we end up becoming focused only on the words, that we lose sight of the bigger picture of what we're able to do. That in prayer, we are coming before the very throne of God. That in prayer, we are able to have a conversation with the very God who made us. This God that wants to be close. This God that wants to be in a relationship with you. Exactly who you are. Exactly how you are. That God wants a relationship with you. And now some of you might be asking, how can I know that I can come before God with long prayers, with short prayers, with everything in between, and that I can come before Him as I am, that I don't have to worry on, I don't have to worry about getting all the words right? I think Jesus gives us the answer. And I think Jesus gives us the answer in the very first thing He teaches the disciples to pray. Jesus tells the disciples right off the bat that when they enter a time of prayer, they may address God, the very God that created the universe, the very God that created you and gave you breath, gave you life. You may come before that God that is bigger than you could ever imagine, and you can call Him Dad. That God wants to be a father-type figure to you. That we can come before God as His own children. And now on that point, there are some who their image of dad might not necessarily look like the image that God wants us to see when we think of God. But know that God wants to be for you the image of the perfect father. That God wants you to come to Him. That God wants to be the person to offer you guidance. God wants to teach you. He wants to encourage you. That God wants to hold you tight when you're scared. That God wants to help you live the best possible way that you can. That God loves you more than you could ever possibly imagine. And it's not because anything you've done that you can earn it. It's just because you're His kid, that He loves you more than you could ever possibly imagine. That we may come to God not as this distant God that's across the universe somewhere, but that we may come to God as Father. You may call God Dad. That in their day was absolutely revolutionary. See, the Israelite people, they wouldn't have been as familiar with calling God Father. See, through the Bible, they'll often refer to God as the Father, almost like a title, or God being the Father of Israel. But the idea that we can say to God, our Father, my Father, that to them is absolutely revolutionary. That to us is absolutely profound. God wants to be your Father. So for you, wherever your prayer life is at right now, I wonder, what would it look like for you to take a step this week, to take a step towards having a more constant, a more regular prayer life? What does that step look like to go from wherever your prayer life is right now to go one step closer? One step more consistent. For some of you, maybe that means that we make the commitment that this week we'll start praying again. That we'll start at least praying regularly again. That maybe it's a practice you used to do often, but a habit that you fell out of. So maybe for you, this week is the week that you make that commitment. That this week, I will start to pray again. Maybe you've become so focused on words that maybe for you, maybe it's really understanding what's going on in prayer, that it's not so much about picking the right word, but it's spending time with Dad. And so maybe for you, maybe this week you can come into prayer, spending time with the God who wants to be your Father, who wants you to let him love you, to guide you, to help you, to teach you. Maybe for you, it's just that. It's when you enter into prayer, you know that you're not praying to some God out somewhere who's remotely interested, but that you're praying to a God who says that you may call him your Father, that God wants to be there for you. He just wants you to come and spend time with him. Whatever, wherever you're at, whatever your prayer life looks like, what is that next step? And this week, may we make the commitment that this week we will take it. Please pray with me. Father God, we thank you for even the gift that prayer is. And we thank you that you are not a God who is out somewhere else, but that you are a God who is always with us and who cares about us, who loves us more than we could ever possibly know. That you care enough that you listen. That in the midst of a world which is often preoccupied, where we really fail often to listen to one another, we can know that whatever we say in prayer, you hear us, you listen to us, and you care deeply. Lord, we thank you for being that type of God. Help us this week to come to you more, to help us to further develop our prayer life, this conversation that we have with you. Lord, give us the ability, give us the strength, give us the awareness that you are always with us, and help us to come to you more. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.